Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Most Beneficent, the Most Merciful. Allah is the title and the name of the one and only true God. The title Allah is derived from the Arabic Al-Ma'luh, which means the one worshipped out of love, magnification and longing. Allah is the Creator and the Lord of all that exists. Man's innate nature recognizes what is good and what is bad, what is true and what is false. Well, it recognizes that the attributes of Allah must be true, unique, and all perfect. This innate nature does not feel comfortable towards attributing anything imperfect to Allah in His names and attributes. Many who became, quote, discontent with God, end of quote, they did so because of the practices of the church in medieval Europe and because of claims such as, quote, God dwells in a son, end of quote, and that, quote, everyone is born with an original sin, end of quote. They, quote, escaped, end of quote, into worshipping a new thing which they called Mother Nature. And with the advancement of materialistic technology, others from different religions adopted the concept of forgetting God and, quote, let us live this life and enjoy it, end of quote. Indeed, they are reviving the old God of Rome, the God of desire. And today we can see that all of this materialistic progress produced a spiritual vacuum that led to complex social, economical, political, and psychological problems. Many of those who, quote, fled their religions are in search again. Some try to escape the complexity of their daily lives through various means. Those who examined the Quran and Islam found a complete code for life that requires man to fulfill the purpose of his existence on earth. Allah does not want man to become enslaved to any false deity, nature, drugs, lust, money, other men, desire, or sex. Allah gives the proofs that He alone is the one who can deliver man to free himself from the slavery to any form of creation and to turn to his Creator alone. The Creator, Allah, has perfect attributes. He is the first. Nothing is before Him. The last, nothing is after Him. And the Most High, nothing is above Him. And the Most Near, nothing escapes His encompassment and reach. And He is the ever-living. He does not beget, nor is He begotten. Those who attribute divinity to Jesus, peace be upon Him, forget or ignore the fact that Jesus was in the mother's womb He needed nutrition, was born, and became a man. A man who needs to eat, walk, sleep, rest cannot have divine attributes because he is in need and Allah is self-sufficient. As for Buddhism, Hinduism, and Zoroastrianism, all worship creation in one form or another. Even those who worship Jesus, peace be upon him, they are worshipping a created being. And Jews had attributed a nationalistic attribute to Allah. They made him code the tribal god for the children of Israel alone. Now we see many men and women who followed these religions and who were originally were born on the natural inclination of submitting to their creator Allah, we find them in search again. They came to know that it was their parents and those around them and the environment that led them into their respective traditions. Once they are exposed to the signs of Allah around them, or to the Quran, or to someone who advises them concerning Islam, a triggering of their fitrah, of their natural inclination to submit to Allah created in them, begins, and the reverting process begins. And that's why we see this interest in Islam worldwide. Therefore, any person with even the common sense cannot assume for himself a fair stance towards Islam if he or she does not give a genuine attempt to read the word of Allah in the Quran. For Allah is the all just, all wise, and does not intend confusion for his creation. The religion accepted to him is the one chosen by him, and its essence must be one because he is one and only one true God. Therefore, the advice here is to have a genuine attempt to read the word of Allah in the Quran. The Quran revealed in Arabic and not authored by Muhammad, peace be upon him. Muhammad was unlettered. The Quran has the meaning of the Quran has been translated into English as well as the meanings into other languages. And it's available in bookstores in many places of the world and online and in Islamic centers and in public libraries. And therefore we advise to take the time to read and or visit an Islamic center or even to talk to someone who was like you before searching for the truth. And these words which I am putting now are really in this direction, hoping to direct people searching for the truth, providing them with basic knowledge concerning this important subject as to who deserves to be worshipped alone. And we begin by chapter 1 after this introduction. And chapter 1 is under the title The Attributes of Allah. Allah is ever living. We know of him because he described himself in the Quran and are on the tongue of his messengers, that he is ever living, all hearer and all seer. You and I exist. The world around us exists. The one who controls what exists is ever existing. Allah states in the Noble Quran in chapter 14, verse 10, أَفِي اللَّهِ شَكٌّ فَاطِرِ السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. In chapter Ibrahim, chapter 14, verse 10, is there a doubt about Allah, the creator of the heavens and the earth? A desert nomad said, quote, camel droppings point to the existence of a camel. Footprints on the sand tell of a traveler. The heavens with its stars, the earth with its mountains and valleys, and the seas with its waves, don't they point to the Maker, all-powerful, knowing, wise, and caring? The words of the desert nomad reflect the innate nature of man. When it examines the signs of its creator in the universe, that's why Allah states in Surah Al-Jathiya, chapter 43, verse 3, إِنَّ فِي السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ لَآيَاتٍ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Verily, in the heavens and the earth are signs for the believers. All that surrounds us testify to the fact that creation did not come up from, quote, nothing, end of quote, because nothing does not exist, and non-existence lacks the ability to create. Man can make an electric bulb, a car, a computer, etc. Those things produced by man reflect some of the abilities and qualities of man. Many things came to existence and are still coming every day. These things function in very sophisticated ways. There must be a unique, ever-living being who is all-able, all-wise, all-knowing, and all perfect. This is God, the true God, Allah. Listen to what he states in chapter At-Tur 52, verse 35. أَمْ خُلِقُوا مِنْ غَيْرِ شَيْءٍ أَمْ هُمُ الْخَالِقُونَ أَمْ خَلَقُوا السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ أَلْ لَا يُوقِنُونَ. Were they created by nothing? Or were they themselves the creators? Or did they create the heavens and the earth? Nay, but they have no firm belief. The universe could not have created itself, nor did it come about by chance or from, quote, nothing, end of quote. Everything created is in need of the one and only one creator, Allah. He, most exalted, is not creation nor part of creation. You ask yourself, does a man have the same attributes like that which he makes? A car, train, fountain, pipes, or even computers. Just because man has a brain does not mean that the things he makes have brains. The brain, quote, end of quote, of the computer is made by man, and is fed by programs made by men. The fact that man-made products don't have brains does not negate the fact that man has a brain. If the existence of the brain is denied, then one denies the existence of man-made products. In reality, what applies to materialistic things made by man does not apply to man. Similarly, the qualities of a stone or a river or tree, water, air, cow, and man are distinct. If they were the same, this world would have been another world and everything would be the same. It is certain that their qualities are different. Allah, the Creator of the heavens and the earth, is different in Himself as well as in His attributes from all that which He creates. All of His creation is in need, but He is perfectly self-sufficient, free of all wants. قال الله تعالى, Allah the Most Exalted says in chapter Ash-Shura, Surah Ash-Shura 42 verse 11, ليس كمثله شيء وهو السميع البصير. There is nothing like unto Him, and He is the All-Hearer, the All-Seer. There can be no more than one true God. Imagine what will happen to the universe had there been more than one God. Listen to this intellectual challenge. In chapter 21, Surah Al-Anbiya, Verse 22, Allah the Most High says, لو كان فيهما آلهة إلا الله لفسدتا فسبحان الله رب العرش عما يصفون. Had there been therein in the heavens and the earth gods besides Allah, then verily both would have been ruined. Glorified be Allah, the Lord of the Arsh, of the throne. High is He above what they attribute to Him. If such, quote, deities, end of quote, differ, one may want to take over and assume power, as Allah stated in chapter 17, Surah Al-Isra, chapter 17, verse 42, قُلْ لَوْ كَانَ مَعَهُ آلِهَةٌ كَمَا يَقُولُونَ إِذَنْ لَبْتَغَوْا إِلَىٰ ذِي الْعَرْشِ سَبِيلًا. Say, O Muhammad, to those polytheists, pagans, disbelievers, etc. If there had been other gods along with Him, with Allah, as they assert, then they would certainly have sought out a way to the Lord of the throne. Newsweek magazine, February 17, 1992, page 38. It stated the following. The Quran describes how the earth swallowed up a sumptuous but decadent city of towers called Iram. End of quote. From page 38 of the magazine. We know that once archaeologists discover an ancient site, the scientists examine everything they can put their hands on. This is done in order to determine as closely as possible the period in history in which the city was built. No one thinks that the city founded itself, or it was founded due to natural causes. People believe that it was built by the action of man because, quote, nothing, end of quote, cannot cause the existence of anything. Using satellite maps and modern technology, a group of archaeologists discovered an ancient city in Oman, which is in the southern part of Arabia. Nicholas Clapp, who documented a film about the expedition, said in the Newsweek article cited, quote, "Diggers can already see that the city center collapsed," listen to this carefully, as told in the Quran, because it was built over a limestone cavern used to store water. End of quote. I repeat, he said, "Diggers can already see that the city center collapsed as told in the Quran, because it was built over a limestone cavern used to store water." End of quote. Allah in the Quran tells us the story of a magnificent city for the people of Ad, which referred to in the Newsweek article. Listen to this, chapter 89, Surah Al-Fajr, verses 6-8. أَلَمْ تَرَ كَيْفَ فَعَلَ رَبُّكَ بِعَدْ إِرَمَ ذَاتِ الْعِمَادِ الَّتِي لَمْ يُخْلَقْ مِثْلُهَا فِي الْبِلَادِ. Did you not consider how your Lord dealt with Ad people, who had buildings with lofted pillars, the like of which were not produced in the land? The like of which were not produced in the land. Allah sent them a messenger. His name is Hud. From amongst them, he had a message. The message was calling the people to worship none but their creator Allah alone. And this is stated in the Quran in chapter 7, verse 65. وَإِلَىٰ عَادٍ أَخَاهُمْ هُودًا قَالَ يَا قَوْمِ اعْبُدُوا اللَّهَ مَا لَكُمْ مِنْ إِلَٰهٍ غَيْرُهُ أَفَلَا تَتَّقُونَ. And to the Ad people we sent their brotherhood. He said, "O my people, worship Allah alone. You have no other ilah, no other god but him. Will you not fear Allah?" They rejected and oppressed their people, as Allah stated in a chapter carrying the name of Hud, which is chapter 1159, or even 759 rather. وَتِلْكَ عَادٌ جَحَدُوا بِآيَاتِ رَبِّهِمْ وَعَصَوْا رُسُلَهُ وَاتَّبَعُوا أَمْرَ كُلِّ جَبَّارٍ عَنِيدٍ. Such were Ad people. They rejected the evidences, the verses, the lessons, the signs, the revelations of their Lord, and disobeyed his messengers, and followed the command of every proud, obstinate professor of the truth. The warning followed, as in chapter 46:21. وَاذْكُرْ أَخَا عَادٍ إِذْ أَنْذَرَ قَوْمَهُ بِالْأَحْقَافِ وَقَدْ خَلَتِ النُّذُرُ مِنْ بَيْنِ يَدَيْهِ وَمِنْ خَلْفِهِ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا اللَّهِ إِنِّي أَخَافُ عَلَيْكُمْ عَذَابَ يَوْمٍ عَظِيمٍ. And make mention of Hud, the brother of Ad, when he warned his people in this area which is called Al-Ahqaf, which is the curved sand hills in the southern part of Arabian Peninsula. And surely there have passed away warners before him and after him, saying, look at the message, this is the message of all the messengers before him as well, worship none but Allah. Truly I fear for you the torment of a mighty day. Allah is all just. He does not inflict punishment until He sends a messenger and warnings for those who reject and transgress. 69:6 in Surah Al-Haqqa, chapter 69:6, Allah says, وَأَمَّا عَادٌ فَأُهْلِكُوا بِرِيحٍ صَرْصَرٍ عَاتِيَةٍ. And as for Ad, they were destroyed by a furious, violent wind. Their ruins, which the people in the expedition found, are signs for us. Ad and others like the people of Ad, who built dwellings in sand rocks, like the people of Thamud, whose ruins exist also today in the Arabian Peninsula. They were intelligent people, but listen to what Allah describes them in chapter 29, verse 38. وعادا وثمود وقد تبين لكم من مساكنهم وزين لهم الشيطان وأعمالهم فصدهم عن السبيل وكانوا مستبصرين. And Ad and Thamud people, and indeed their destruction is clearly apparent to you from their ruined dwellings. Satan, look at this, Satan made their deeds fair seeming to them and turned them away from the right path, though they were intelligent. So the Quran here gives us the truth about the city of Ad, as well as other towns and civilizations, as signs to contemplate, not just to report in a magazine like a scientific discovery period. No. These are signs to contemplate upon and realize that Allah alone is the true God that deserves to be worshipped. Listen to this clearly stated in the Quran. Nothing of this was mentioned in the news magazine, for example. In Surah Ash-Shura, chapter 42, verse 53. سَنُرِيهِمْ آيَاتِنَا فِي الْآفَاقِ وَفِي أَنفُسِهِمْ حَتَّى يَتَبَيَّنَ لَهُمْ أَنَّهُ الْحَقِّ. In chapter 41:53, we shall show them our signs in the universe and in their own selves until it becomes manifest to them that this Quran is the truth. And is it not sufficient in regard to your Lord that He is a witness over all things? Yes, indeed. Allah is the first. Nothing is before Him. Anything before goes back to Him. He encompasses everything that was before, not before Him, because He is the first. He is the last and encompasses everything that comes after, not after Him, because anything after ends up to Him. Nothing is called first, quote, end of quote, but Allah is before it. Nothing is, quote, last, end of quote, but Allah is after it. Allah is self-sufficient. He cannot be caused. Nothing outside Him causes Him to continue to exist. He does not need anyone or anything. He does not need a son, a wife, or a daughter to do for Him anything. He is everlasting, ever-living. He does not die and does not perish. in all of his attributes, he is perfect. Nothing is like unto him. He tells us of himself in the Quran in chapter 1:4, Surah Al-Ikhlas. قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدُ اللَّهُ الصَّمَدُ لَمْ يَلِدْ وَلَمْ يُولَدْ وَلَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدُ. Say, O Muhammad, He is Allah the One, Allah the Self-Sufficient Master, whom all creatures need. He begets not, nor was He begotten, and there is none like unto Him, nothing co-equal to Him, or comparable unto Him. Allah is the Most High and the Most Near. He is absolutely above everything by Himself, and nothing is above Him. He arose above His throne in a unique way, above the Arsh, the throne, in a unique way that best fits His majesty and glory. Allah states about this in the Quran, in Surah Al-An'am, chapter 10, verse 18. Chapter 10, verses 3 and 4. إِنَّ رَبَّكُمُ اللَّهُ الَّذِي خَلَقَ السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ فِي سِتَّةِ أَيَّامٍ ثُمَّ اسْتَوَى عَلَى الْعَرْشِ. Your Rabb, your Lord is Allah. This is Yunus. Yunus, chapter 10, 3 and 4. Your Rabb is Allah, who created the heavens and the earth in 6 days, and then arose above His throne. He manages all things. He created the heavens and the earth, and nothing of fatigue touches Him, because He is all perfect. Also, we read in Surah Al-An'am, chapter 6, verse 18. وَهُوَ الْقَاهِرُ فَوْقَ عِبَادِهِ وَهُوَ الْحَكِيمُ الْخَبِيرُ. He is the One, the Irresistible, above His slaves. And He is the All-Wise, well-acquainted with all things. And in Surah Fatir 35:10, إِلَيْهِ يَصْعَدُ الْكَلِمُ الطَّيِّبُ وَالْعَمَلُ الصَّالِحُ يَرْفَعُهُ. To Him ascends all the goodly words, and the righteous deeds exalt them. Allah is, quote, not in everything, end of quote. And, quote, everything is not in Himself, end of quote. He is Most High and does not dwell in His creation, not in Jesus, nor in Khomeini, nor in Elijah Muhammad, nor in Farrakhan, or Malcolm X, or Gandhi, or Nelson Mandela, or even Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah is above His creation, yet He encompasses everything to the degree that He is closer to a thing more than the thing to itself, and nothing is beyond Him, beyond His knowledge, reach, and closeness. In His closeness and reach, He is high above creation. Nothing is like unto Him in His highness, nor in His reach and encompassing and nearness. The sincere believer who calls upon Allah, Allah is close to him. And this is the closeness of invocation. Allah Ta'ala, Allah says in Surah Al-Baqarah chapter 2 in the Quran 186, وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عني فإني قريب أجيب دعوة الداعي إذا دعان فليستجيب لي وليؤمنوا بي لعلهم يرشدون. When my slaves ask you, O Muhammad, concerning me, then I am indeed near to them. I respond to the invocation of the supplicant when he calls on me without any mediator or intercessor. So let them obey me and believe in me, so that they may be led right. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in the authentic hadith and the authentic transmitted statement from him, وَأَنْتَ الظَّاهِرُ فَلَيْسَ فَوْقَكَ شَيْءٍ وَأَنْتَ الْبَاطِنُ فَلَيْسَ دُونَكَ شَيْءٍ. You, Allah, are the Most High. Nothing is above you, and you are the Most Near. Nothing is beyond you in your reach. Being the Most High and the Most Near tells us that Allah encompasses everything that is manifest and everything that is hidden. For there is nothing that is manifest but Allah is high above it, and nothing that is hidden except that Allah is close and near to it, and that the hidden to Him is manifested. He encompasses everything, and that, وَأَنَّ إِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ الْمُنْتَهَىٰ, and that to your Lord Allah is the final return, as He stated in Surah An-Najm 53:42. وَأَنَّ إِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ الْمُنْتَهَىٰ, to your Lord Allah is the final return. And there are those who insist on rejecting even the existence of Allah, but they are a few. They are a few, and they do that out of arrogance and haughtiness and disdainfulness. Most of mankind accept the existence of the Creator, that Allah exists. Those who reject, they whisper a statement which says, okay, this is the creation of Allah, then who created Allah? Alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. They argue that everything existing is in need, and if Allah exists, then He is also in need. End of quote. In response to this, we present facts against these whispers. And these whispers are from the devil. We know that because the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ told us about this, and he told us to seek refuge in Allah from these whispers. But these people don't believe in Allah, they don't believe in the devil, they don't believe that there is an existing devil. So we confront them with the following. Number one, the attributes of creation are not the same as those of the Creator. Second, the argument that since creation is in need, so is the Creator, is wrong. Man is not the same as the things he makes. They need man for their existence. If man does not exist, the things he makes will not exist. Thirdly, if someone insists that the Creator is in need, just as creation is, then he is faced with the following argument. Knowing that besides the Creator and creation there is only non-existence or nothing, then the Creator is in need of what constitutes non-existence. And since non-existence can produce nothing, then the Creator is, quote, nothing. And you and me are nothing. And thus you and me and the lines on the text that you see and the words that you hear now don't exist. Now the believer stands firm, however, that to Allah belongs the highest example, and nothing is like unto Him, and He is most glorified and distinct from His creation. His existence is independent of anything. Fourthly, if someone insists that the chain of creation goes like this: creation, creator, 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 all the way to nothing, because they want to deny the existence of Allah, where every member of this chain is in need for something to create such particular member, so the chain to them goes creator, creation, creator, creator, creator. If someone insists that the chain of the creation goes like this, where every member of the above chain is in need for something to create a particular member, end of quote. Now, besides this chain of created members, there is only nothing. There is only nothing. This implies that the one who is able to create this chain is non-existing. Thus, every member of the chain is non-existing, including you and me. And this is impossible, and Allah is above what they attribute to Him. The chain that ends up with the Creator, meaning creation, Creator, is the natural chain. Creation is in need of the one who is self-sufficient, has high and perfect attributes, and who is unlike his creation. And he is Allah, the one and only one true God, who has no children, who is the first, not begotten, and who is almighty, nothing like unto him. He does not dwell in any one. He is ever living, does not die. He does not dwell in creation, in Buddha, in Jesus, in saints, in priests, in Ayatollahs, in the sun, in Farrakhans, in the white man, in the black man, in the fire, in the Statue of Liberty, in rivers, in cows, in gurus or Krishnas. He is not created and he is not in any form part of creation. The following conversation took place between an Islamic scholar and an avowed atheist. The following conversation took place between an Islamic scholar and an avowed atheist. The scholar said, "Have you ever traveled on the sea? Have you ever traveled on the sea?" The atheist said, "Yes." The scholar said, "Have you experienced its terrors?" The atheist said, "Yes, indeed. One day, while we were out at sea, a terrible hurricane blew and smashed our ship. Several sailors perished. I clung to a rafter of the ship, but it was soon snatched away. I was thrown about in the stormy sea, but eventually was tossed up on the shore." When the storm broke, the scholar commented, "When the storm broke, perhaps you first relied on the ship and the sailors for your safety, and then on the rafter, which saved you for a while. But when all these went, did you resign yourself to death, or did you still hope for safety?" The atheist replied, "I hoped for safety." "On whom did you hope for safety?" the scholar said. The atheist was silent. The scholar said, "The Creator is the one on whom you placed your hopes at that time, and He is the one who delivered you from drowning." After this conversation, the atheist submitted his Creator. The next chapter, inshallah, we will talk about the creation of you and me. That will be the next topic under this series, Who Deserves to be Worshipped Alone? Who Deserves to be Worshipped Alone? So we just finished chapter 1. I ask Allah the Most High to make it a benefit for myself and for all of you. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. All praise is to the one, the creator of all that exists. Wassalatu wassalamu ala Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. May Allah's salat and salam be upon the Prophet Muhammad and the believers of his family and the noble companions and those who follow the path of Muhammad, peace be upon him, until the day of resurrection.